Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 12th of March. One of the authors of Bad Baby Names is our guest this hour, and you will be absolutely amazed when you hear what some of these names are. The book looks at the names, but of course also we have this question of, you know, what's in a name. Are there studies that show that children who have odd names get bullied? Are they more likely to flunk out? What kind of adults do they become? Are they proud of their names? The authors interviewed, well, they went through lots and lots of census records, and they interviewed adults today who had survived names like Candy Store, Cash Guy, Merry Christmas, River Jordan, and Raspberry. And our guest said that actually they were very proud of their names. Some of them were almost overly proud of the names. One of the authors is Michael Sherrod. He is with us, but of course, we have to start our show with a song that puts all of this in context.
Well, my daddy left home when I was three, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
Johnny Cash and a Boy Named Sue. Michael Sherrod is with us now as we talk about bad baby names, and we'll welcome your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, 414-227-2050. If you'd like to send us an email, that is talk@wpr.org. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
You never had to worry about this. Michael is a wonderful name. It's my husband's name. It's good, isn't it?
It is.
It is good. What in the world ever possessed you to do a book about bad baby names? It's a great idea, but what were you thinking?
Well, we were looking at Ancestry.com one day, which has a huge database of names from all kinds of records, like the census records and immigration records and birth, marriage, and death records from states. And I was standing in the office, and I was looking at an image. They have images of records on the walls. And I was looking at one of them, and I noticed that a man had put his profession down as wizard. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. And I found out he's the only person who's ever done that, at least from 1790 through 1930. But right underneath that was a family named Whiffer. And I thought, well, that's an unusual name. And I started reading the names of the children in the family, and one of them was Fanny. And I stood there for a second, and this can't be right. So I went to talk to some folks and said, you know, there was this really funny name. Are there more of these? And it turned out that there was actually a list of about 100 names that people had just sort of compiled over the years. And I started looking, and I said, you know, we've got to go in and find out how many of these there are in the census, because these could be really interesting, unique names. But one of the things we found out is almost every book in here, as unusual as it is, it's not unique. There are more than one of almost every name in this book.
Oh, my.
Which we found to be just astounding.
Right. And some of them are so outrageous, you wonder, what in the world were the parents thinking? So, I mean, I know there are a lot of different kinds of names, but what would possess a parent to give his or her child a really outrageous name?
Well, I've developed a completely unscientific theory about that, because there really isn't a lot of research about this. But in the late 1700s and 1800s, you know, men had a lot more influence in naming their children than they do today, because we found almost every man I've talked to over time has said that, you know, has mentioned that they wanted to name their child something really unusual or outrageous or funny. Just in the news yesterday or day before, Matthew McConaughey said he wanted to name his first child Budweiser.
Oh, my gosh.
So men kind of have this thing about that, and I have to admit, I wanted to name my first son Rolandus Agamemnon, and my wife totally nixed that.
I can see why.
Yes, very wisely. But
right.
I think what happened in the past is that many times men would think it was funny, or they were sending a message. For instance, there were lots of messages sent to the King of England in the late 1700s, like Pox King and Yellow King, coward king, those kinds of things. So, and then they thought it would be funny to do a sentence, for instance, because in the 1800s, Mary was a man's name. And there are about half of the names in the book that have the name Mary and then the initial A. Those are all sentence names. So there's Mary a Tramp, Mary a Jerk.
Oh, my.
Yeah, there's lots of those. Mary a Fish. I mean, it's so obviously there was a sense of humor going on there. So my theory is that the women just weren't involved enough to keep their husbands from,
right.
you know, going a little overboard.
Right. I thought it was so funny. This came to our attention through an article in the New York Times yesterday, actually, A Boy Named Sue and a Theory of Names. And the person who wrote this has the middle name Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N. And he said it's the first time he's ever used that as a byline.
Well, and, you know, his thesis in that article was that, you know, he was bullied on the playground a little bit, you know, Marion, the librarian,
right.
the music man. And one of the things we talked about was there any evidence that these names, you know, damaged children as they grew older? And our, again, unscientific research and talking to people that I knew growing up in Texas that had unusual names, actually, as they got older, they really valued their names. Hmm. And the research that John Tierney did, the writer from the New York Times, kind of bears that out. Or the research that he found.
Why? Why would they really value them? And you even suggest maybe overly value them.
Well, in some cases, they were almost overly proud, almost overboard about their name, at least in my opinion. But I think some of it has to do with, as they grew older, they realized that it was a distinct advantage in terms of individuality, that they stood out no matter where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people might laugh or giggle at their name the first time they heard it, but they were memorable. People always remembered.
They'd always remember their name, exactly.
Exactly.
What did you name your firstborn son?
Colin.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, but I have kind of an embarrassing story about that. When I was doing research on this book, I discovered that inadvertently I named my two sons the same thing. Because our second son we named Nicholas, and it turns out that Colin is a diminutive of Nicholas, and they mean exactly the same thing.
Really?
I felt a little like George Foreman after I found that out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They actually mean bear and little bear, but my younger son never lets my older son forget that he's named after him.
Right, yeah. Those are good names. My mother was named Ethelberta, and she hated her name. She absolutely hated it, and I kept saying to her, Mom, you can change it. It's okay. You can change it and feel better about it. So people who do despise their names, I wonder how many of them just, you know, switch.
Well, actually, that's a good question. We know that some people do, but usually the reason isn't because they hate their name. It's usually because of some other reason that something's happened with the name, or there's, you know, notoriousness, or although some people do enjoy that as well. But we haven't done a lot of research on that, but that's something we ought to look into because, you know, lots of people change their names in the United States every year.
Right. And it is a big thing to name a baby, isn't it? I can remember sitting at the kitchen table and discussing this when we were naming our son with my stepsons and my husband, and we didn't have arguments, but we wanted to find just the right name. Just,
exactly.
You know, a little bit of Irish, maybe a little Celtic, you know, something that's not too unusual. It's a big thing.
It is a big thing. And, you know, one of the things that we've noticed that's happening in modern times is a lot of different ethnicities being revealed in a name. For instance, you might have names that combine a Western name with a Latino name or with a Eastern European name. So there are lots of different combinations now, and people are becoming more and more proud of their heritage, no matter how distant. And they're beginning to include, and of course there's a lot of interracial marriages and intercultural marriages now, and people want to celebrate those cultures and those traditions.
Mm-hmm. I've always found it, though, important to give somebody a name that you can pronounce. It's very hard, and maybe this comes from the perspective of a talk show host, but it must be very hard to go through life with a name that you look at it and you say, whew, how in the heck do you pronounce that?
Well, exactly. But it's amazing. You know, a lot of simple names many times get mispronounced. For instance, in the United States, people who have the name D-E-A-T-H, which we pronounce death.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually pronounced Deeth in the UK.
Hmm.
So, and there's a, and that's a very, very old name in the United Kingdom. So a lot of people who, when they come to the United States and we kind of look at their names and go, my gosh, this person's name is Grimwood Death, but it's actually Grimwood Deeth.
Huh. So,
but mispronunciations can take place in very simple names. And, you know, my name oftentimes is pronounced Sherrod or Sherwood for some reason.
Hmm.
But, you know, so that's just, everyone has that problem. But if you have a name that's all consonants, sometimes that can be difficult.
Right. We went through this era, and I'm wondering if it's over when, I guess they were hippie parents, were naming their kids Sunshine and Rainbow and Flower.
Summer Destiny.
Yeah. What was the one you said?
Summer Destiny.
Summer Destiny.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. What about those young people? Have they liked those names? Are they uplifting and promise of the future?
All, you know, for the folks that we've talked to that had sort of names from that era, they're pretty happy with their names. They, you know, some are a little slightly embarrassed, and they preface it by saying, yes, my parents were hippies. But in a way, it's almost a badge of honor. And, you know, one of the things that fascinated me about the research that John Tierney did was that the more you know someone, the less their name actually means in terms of how you use that to judge that person. So if you just have seen their face and the name is attached, the name drops in importance. But if you know who they are and where they live and where they came from and you know about their personality, it almost drops into insignificance in how you judge that person. So it's kind of interesting when you're talking to people who have unusual names, they generally are very open, and it's almost like they want you to get to know them because they've discovered through their experience, their life experience, that takes their name a little bit out of the equation.
Mm-hmm. Some of these, though, are just awful names. You ran across a number of people who were named Satan, for heaven's sake. Yeah, how do you get past a name like Satan?
You know, I don't know. I can't imagine how you could come to a thought process where you would name your child Evil. Like Evil Blessing is one of the names, which is an incredible cognitive dissonance kind of name. And then Satan, there's even a Beelzebub. And you have to wonder, why? What were they angry? Were they upset? Were they mad at their spouse? You just can't imagine how that could happen. And the number of names Evil, there are a lot of them. It's not like one or two instances. There were dozens of people named Evil.
Mm. Here's a funny email. We're going to go to phones soon because we're going to have great calls. From Aaron from Marty in Madison. My friend's father taught in the Milwaukee Public School System and had a student who's named Orangelo. Evidently, the child's mother's favorite food during pregnancy was orange jello.
You know, we thought that was an apocryphal story, but it turns out there are quite a number of Lamangelos and Orangelos.
Oh, no, really?
We've seen a lot of them in phone books. We didn't use those names because we tried to stick to the census because we could actually see the record.
Right, right.
We could see the name. But phone books and stuff, it's a little bit easier to put stuff up. And we thought, well, but we have heard so many instances of those names that they exist.
Let's go to Heather from Brookston, Minnesota. Hi, Heather.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
And Michael.
Morning.
I couldn't resist calling. I actually called before the news started. It's not always women that are the best influence on names, though, I've discovered. My best friend stopped by one morning, it was about 7 years ago, to tell me she had a grandson. And I said, well, what's his name? And she had a daughter, single mother, punk, goth type young woman, who had decided to name the baby Anubis. That's a little boy.
Anubis.
Yes, and she said to me, what kind of name is that? And I said, I have no idea. And at that moment, I was a foster mom, and I had a daughter who was 17 years old who had fetal alcohol syndrome, and she was psychotic and talked to herself and was autistic, and she's pacing back and forth through the hallway where we were, and she'd mutter to herself and giggle and things and suck on her finger. Just as we're talking about this, she stops dead in her tracks, takes her finger out of her mouth, and she said, Anubis, the Egyptian god of the dead, puts her finger back in her mouth and starts pacing away from us.
Oh.
We both stand there with our mouths open like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my, what a moment.
Completely right. Now, how she knew that? Her IQ was under 70.
Oh.
But that was something she just had stuck in her mind. So, yes, and Anubis is now almost 8 years old, and they don't have a nickname for him. That's his full name. And I just realized while I was waiting, but Anubis actually, his job was in the underworld, was to weigh the heart of every person on the scale of justice and to judge if the person's good or bad deeds on Earth and where he should go.
Oh, my gosh. What a story. What a great story, Michael.
That's a great story.
And yeah.
By the way, we have a website that we would love to have people send names like that.
Okay.
It's www.badbabynames.net.
Badbabynames.net. Okay.
And they can post the name there. And we also have www.sticksandstones.com
okay.
for people to send names. The .net is actually a blog that's a lot of fun. We discovered a video of the name police in England, where these jokesters are walking around giving tickets to people who've named their children unusual names, and it's very funny.
Great. And you find that at Sticks and Stones, or that's at the
badbabynames.net.
Okay. Oh, we're going to have some fun today, even when the show goes off the air. Thanks, Heather, very much for your call. Let's go to Dave from Wanakee. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi. I suspect that the worst common name these days, the least likely to be used, that was formerly very popular, is Adolf, for obvious reasons. And I suspect that Caligula doesn't come into play too much either.
Caligula does not. We found about four Caligulas in the census from 1790 to 1930, which is a pretty tough name to have to carry through life. Adolf, you're right, is very rare. But there are still quite a few people out there, especially as middle names.
Hmm. Cheryl is next from Duluth. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. It's a great program. Ever since I was young, I would think of baby names. Even though that I won't have any more children, I still think of baby names. So when I met my husband, his name is Tanni, T-A-N-N-I. So that is an unusual name.
Yeah.
And every time I have to say his name to somebody, I have to spell it because they think his name is Tammy, as in a girl's name. So he really would prefer his middle name, Ryan, over his first name, Tanni. So when we have had children, I didn't want to give them common names. I wanted them to be set apart from maybe the other children, and because they're special, they're my children.
Right.
So my name is Cheryl, so I thought, well, let's kind of go with the Sh-type name. So I went with Chanel for my oldest daughter. But I put two L's on the end of it and no E.
Mm-hmm.
And then with my second daughter, Charney, but I spelled that, you know, totally different than Chanel. So her name is more of a French spelled name with S-H-A-R-N-A-E.
Mm-hmm.
And, although they like their names now, they're, 17 and 20. They were always disappointed they couldn't find anything with their name on it, like pencils.
Oh,
or
right, yes.
Keychains
yes.
or anything. But I think they've come to like having an unusual name and that maybe they do feel a little special, but it wasn't so unusual that they hated their name or they got teased because of it.
Mm-hmm. Michael.
Oh, that was wise. I think naming children, I mean, that's one of the biggest things we do, and they're going to carry that with them their whole lives, and people have a lot of different ideas about how they can give, you know, today's particularly individuality is a big thing. They want their children to stand out. There are even naming consultants that help parents.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, absolutely, who will come in and help you pick a name that is powerful or artistic or creative, you know, those kinds of things. So, you know, it's a very big deal, and a lot of people believe that that gives kids a head start in life to give them a really powerful name.
Hmm.
So, you know, the thing about family being, you know, picking a name from the parental and the maternal side, I mean the maternal and the paternal side, that's still very, very common, but more and more people are looking at other ways of naming their kids.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call, Cheryl. Marcus, oh, we got to pause for a moment, and then we'll return. Our number is 800-486-8655. Take the line that's open and call with your funny or strange or wonderful baby name. We're speaking with Michael Sherrod this hour. Bad Baby Names is the name of the book. And you can go to the website as well, badbabynames.net or sticksandstones.com if you want to continue this conversation or add your thoughts. We also have an email address, and that is talk at WPR.org, talk at WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
Michael Sherrod is our guest, and we're talking about his book, Bad Baby Names. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we go to Mark from Colfax next. Hi, Mark.
Hey. My son's name, I don't know necessarily think it's a bad name, but it's a combination of the two grandfathers. One was Kenneth, the other is Eric. So his name is Kenrick, spelled the German way with an H, not a K.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing is that his mother absolutely detests it if anybody calls him Ken, and she insists on either Kenny or Kenrick. But he's 23, and he introduces himself all the time to everybody as Ken and has them call him Ken.
Hmm.
Yeah, a lot of times moms are particular about the names that they give their children. And one of the things that I've discovered is that they like for the full name to be used. My mother, for instance, wanted me to be Michael, not Mike. My wife wants our son Nicholas to be Nicholas, not Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, you know, that's all anecdotal, of course, but given names are given names. And, you know, our culture, we want to shorten that. We want to nickname everybody. But people sometimes are very sensitive about that.
Yeah, that's true. I was called Kathy all my life until I was 32 years old, and then I thought, my name is Kathleen. I like that much better. But it's amazing the number of people who I will introduce myself, and immediately they say, hi, Kathy. Wait
right.
a second. That's not my name. My
yeah,
name is
exactly.
Kathleen.
It's a little bit of a presumption.
Right. Yeah, it is, isn't it? I like the names, though, also, that you can do things with. One of my favorite female names is Margaret, maybe because I had a lovely aunt, Aunt Margaret O'Leary, and you can do so much with the name Margaret, so you can choose who you want to be, Margaret or Maggie or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice, those names.
Yeah, and people do experiment with their names. They do try out different names, particularly as they're younger. And interestingly, some of the names of the old days are coming back, like Ethel. Ethel is a name that's making quite a comeback.
Is it? Is it really?
It really is.
Ethel's coming back.
And believe it or not, Bertha, which you would think would be a little bit odd, but people are they're reaching back into whether it's family history or just the nostalgia of an earlier time. They're reaching back for some of those older names because now they are unusual, and they do provide a certain level of, I guess, not nostalgia, but solidity. You know, they have a ring about them that is solid.
Yeah, right. That's true. Which is good. It's good to be solid.
It is. Yeah. Competent.
Yes, exactly. Thanks, Mark. Vanessa from Appleton. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling. My last name is Less, like more or less, which is itself a problem. I married it. My husband, that's his family name. And it's funny, some things you said about not wanting your kids to stand out or wanting them to stand out. We just didn't want our children beat up. So when we found out we were pregnant, my husband had said, well, maybe we should give them your maiden name, but my maiden name was Reel, like a fishing reel, so it's really kind of not better. I had the uncle, Rodney Nolan. We did it all. And we really, you know, it's funny that you come from Ancestry.com because my mother has recently joined that because we tried to study the lineage of where Les came from. Who does that? Who has a last name Les? Tim's, my husband Tim, his grandmother was a Heinz, German Heinz, like the ketchup, and when she married old man Les became ruthless, and it really is, you know, and this is no joke. I mean, we have it. And so when I found out I was pregnant, we spent a lot of time, because that last name precludes so many first names, no Hope, no Pennies. And if it's a male, if it's a boy, it's even worse, no Richards. You gotta think like a third grader, and you gotta realize that it doesn't take much for your kid to get, you know, seriously traumatized
on
the playground. And I guess I'm just curious if you've been successful trying to find out where these names came from, or as far as ancestry, is there any kind of book out there where we can figure out how this name became Les? Because I'm pretty sure it didn't come that way.
Probably not. Names get changed in all sorts of ways through the years. And what I would suggest is, do you know what your ethnic origin is? Is it Swedish or German or...
Grandpa Nicholas Les came over here on a boat somewhere, but, you know, my husband thinks it might have been Lees, it might have had extra letters at the end, you know, and we've tried to give our children strong first names, and they're different. People do comment on my kids' first names, and my kids are proud of their first names, because like you've mentioned in the first part of the hour, people don't forget them. I mean, there's not a lot of Danicas, so when they meet Danica Les, it's really not the first name that they, or the last name, I'm sorry, that they dwell on. It's like, oh, that's an interesting first name.
That's a very pretty first name.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. But we do find ourselves at restaurants saying Smith, party of four, because when you say Les, they're like, West? Nest? What? It's like, yeah, Les, like more or. Get it? Or we just say Smith, and we're done.
Oh, this is funny. Michael.
What did you name your other child, by the way?
My son's name is Dalton. We come from, my people are horse trading thieves in Oklahoma, Dalton gang lineage. So we decided, you know, with that last name, we had to make him tough. So we gave him Dalton. His middle name is James, like the, you know, Dalton gang, the Jesse James. We have people down there that were hung in Kansas City. So we had to give him a strong first name.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you did very well. With the names, with a name like Les, there was a lot of opportunity for problems there. But I think you did a great job with that. And you know, one of the things about your name, there are books out there that you can find that will help you, especially if you know the ethnicity. There are immigration records. You could probably go in and find the boat that your grandfather came over on, and find the record of what country he came from, and that will give you a great clue. Because then once you have that, it's pretty simple to find out if that is a common name in that country, or if there's another name that may have been the letters may have been transposed somewhere. That happened in our family Bible. Our name was actually spelled Sherat, and it got misspelled by an itinerant priest who came through and performed a baptism, and it became Sherat just because of the misspelling.
Hmm. And then if you wanted to go back to how it was originally, Michael, can you do that? Is that an elaborate procedure?
No, it's you have to have a little bit of a clue where to start. But if you know that they came, if they came into Ellis Island, or if they came in through Canada or Galveston, there are a number of different ports of entry for immigrants. There are great records on immigration, and I'm sure that if they have his name, they could probably find it on Ancestry.com or some other, because I know Ancestry has one of the largest collections of immigration records in the world that's been digitized.
Mm-hmm. My daughter's name, this is from Erin in Green Bay. My daughter's name is Ireland. I don't think it's awful, obviously, but it is different. I hope that she finds the beauty and elegance that I find in the name. She's also a beautiful little girl, so I believe her name fits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a beautiful name.
Mm-hmm. I think
so, too. And there are people named after almost every country in the world. And in the United States, at least up through 1930, there were people named after every state except one.
Hmm. Thanks for which was that?
Massachusetts.
Oh, nobody was named Massachusetts?
No, not as far as up to 1930. I'm sure there's one now, but there was, you know, every other state was represented at that time.
Huh. Somebody was named Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. And Rhode Island.
And Rhode Island. Hi, Rhode Island. Oh, my. Thanks, Vanessa, for your call. Sheree is next from Fond du Lac. Hi, Sheree.
Hi, good morning. I want to say that I know that African-Americans have a history of naming children, you know, away from the mainstream. Me being African-American, my family was no exception. My name is Sheree. I have a twin sister named Bon Shea. My family has made a game almost out of how unusual we can make our names. So I have a son who is named Jadarian. And the reason it's unusual is because there are two consonants together to kind of make it a...
Whoops, what happened to your phone, Sheree? Oh, we lost that phone.
Oh, that's too bad. That was some interesting names.
Yes, yes, definitely. And I'm sure that's true in a lot of families. Are there different ethnic groups that do names quite differently, would you say, Michael?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear that. Could you repeat
that?
Are there
different? She talked about African Americans naming, that they have a tendency to name their children more unusual names.
Oh, uh-huh.
Is that true of various groups in this country? Do the Irish name their kids differently? Do African Americans? Do Latinos, et cetera? Or is there kind of a common body of names that most of us go to?
You know, really, everyone names their children equally well or poorly. You really can't separate out the groups. You know, they all have proclivities to certain names, but when we went through all of the decades of the census, it didn't matter what the ethnicity was, people still came up with some very, very unusual names. Some actually were beautiful, some were not so great, like Orangelo and Lamangelo, for instance. Those are actually interesting sounding names. But if you go into, you know, how they were formed, it becomes rather funny.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't see any trend like that. Now, African Americans do tend to name their children names that are really highly individual, and but I would say, you know, so do the Irish, and so do the Swedish, and so do, you know, people who have been in America for a long time, Native Americans. It's all in the eye of the beholder.
Right. Thanks, Sheree, for your call. We go to Chris from Madison. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Hello.
My story is I was pregnant with my son. And as you go through names, I chose Theron.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What was it? What's the name?
Theron.
Theron.
T-H-E-R-O-N.
Uh-huh.
And my husband said, No son of mine is going to be named Theron. So we settled on Jason. And when Jason was about 7 years old, he picked out a Basset Hound. And he named the Basset Hound Sparky. Well, my husband went to register this lovely Basset Hound, whose name was Sparky, and registered him as Sparky Theron of Glen. So I got my Theron, too.
That's a good story. Thanks very much for your call. We go to Scott from La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Kathy.
Scott!
talking about going through immigration just reminded me. The folks there would a lot of times change the names so that you would be easier for you. And I knew a woman who whose grandmother came through from Poland. Her last name had been Katz and Ellenbogen, and she walked in Katz and Ellenbogen, and she walked out Katz. You're done. But the reason I called is that I worked in Beloit at one point, and there was a woman there whose mother named her after the two things she wanted most when she was coming out of labor, and hence was born Marijuana Pepsi Jackson.
Are you serious?
Jeez.
I'm serious.
Oh, no.
I mean,
that
I
is far
because she was registered in our database.
Oh.
And I came across her name, and I asked my coworkers, and they told me the story. They said, yep, that was it. And as she went through school, my understanding is her mother wanted the teachers would try to kind of, you know, finesse the first name, and the mother was pretty insistent that they call her by first name.
Oh my gosh.
That is a future bad baby name when those records are released.
Right.
But, you know, it's an interesting name, and I think that goes back to our discussion about why people, what are the motivations behind why people name their children, and sometimes it's a purely internal motivation that in many cases doesn't necessarily take into account what that will the impact that might have on the child's life.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Thanks very much for the call. We go next to Christine from Madison. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I had two things. I have a friend of mine who was born as Misty Dawn, and it was a rainy morning back in the 70s. Kind of a funny name, and she recently changed her first name. And then my middle name, I was named after my great-grandmother. It was my mom's favorite grandma. And she hated her name, yet my mom found it necessary to give me that middle name, which is Delphine. It's D-E-L-P-H-I-N-E. And so my name is Christine Delphine. And when I was a kid, I was, I'm kind of tall anyway, but I was a big kid and kind of overweight, and the kids found out my middle name, and they called me Bubba Delphine. And it was really horrible, but I have since, I really love my name now, and as I get older, I really enjoy it, and in fact, I even have it on my license plate as far as the abbreviation, which is Della. So.
Well, that is a lovely,
yes, it is.
Lovely name, and
yes.
It's a very old name. It has fallen out of use in recent times, but that is a lovely name.
Yes, it is. I like that. I bet there are going to be a few more people named that who just heard that on the radio and said, I'm going to write that one down. Thanks, Christine. Beth is next from South Range. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling. This is a wonderful topic. I'm really glad that you chose it. When we had our son 32 years ago, we have a very common last name, Olson, and my husband had a common first name, lots of Mark Olsons when he was growing up, so he wanted to do something different so that he wouldn't get mixed up with other kids, but also something that would go along with the Scandinavian heritage, which we wanted to keep. So, and we wanted a short name that was easy to spell and say, so we picked Knut, K-N-U-T-E, which is Scandinavian, and he had a grandpa, Knut, so it fit. The other thing about Knut is it means not, K-N-O-T. So we got the short, easy to write, not always easy to say for people who aren't of Scandinavian heritage. They haven't heard it before. But kind of a cute story, when we brought him home from the hospital, my mom was holding him as a baby and said, how could you name this cute little baby a name like Knut? And we said, well, you know, he'll grow into his name, and he'll need to live with his name longer as an adult than he will as a baby or a child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cute baby names don't grow up to be cute adult names either. Well, I don't think he particularly loved his name growing up. I don't think he hated it, but I'm sure kids had different things to say about it, like they always do. But it was kind of interesting because he grew up to be a firefighter, a wild firefighter.
Oh.
Wow.
And so he's a smoke jumper out in Missoula.
Oh, my.
And two things that are interesting with his name. Number one, he worked on a number of wildfires, 19, 20, 21 years old, different states. And people, of course, got to know him. Well, the next year when he was applying for jobs, it's a tough field to get into. He probably put 20 to 30 applicants in, and applications in, and he put our phone number to follow up because he didn't know where he'd be. You can't believe how many phone calls I got from people who wanted to hire Knut, or they had all sorts of ways to pronounce that. Knut was one. But, you know, I think they remembered him because his name stood out.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was 6'4", good-looking, smart, responsible. And all those things probably helped to remember his name, too. And then the second interesting thing with this, his name means not. And as a smoke jumper, knots and ropes are very important.
Sure.
The parachute, you know, he's an expert at holding those up, and, you know, he's in charge of a lot of that, and he's in charge of buying the ropes that they use for climbing. So, you know, it's really neat how it worked out.
That's very interesting. You know, that name, it's a very strong name, and I'm interested in the pronunciation that you brought up. I'm going to see if I can find if that name is coming back a little bit, because that's a very interesting name. And, of course, there was the famous Newt Rockne, as they called him, coach of Notre Dame back in the day.
Right. Oh, yeah, very famous. Thank you so much for the call. Well, I guess he got a perfect name, didn't he?
Boy.
Yeah.
Canute absolutely. You know, we did a little research to find out if people's names influence their professions, and we really couldn't find any correlation with that.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It would be great if there were, but we found a few instances where a person named Cook was a cook, but things like that. But we, you know, and you always see funny things about people who have names around their professions, but it's really not very, it really doesn't influence what they do.
What about these baby names? It is true that people think, oh, we're going to get a cute baby name, and then you grow up and you've got this name that just doesn't fit a 50-year-old.
Well, you know, yeah, I think that happens, but generally what people do in that case is they go with their middle name or they go with initials.
Oh.
Like, for instance, Raleigh. Raleigh is a really cute name for a kid, but sometimes it's, unless you're a pretty garrulous kind of person, Raleigh may not work for an adult, especially if you're serious or you're an undertaker or something like that.
Right, right.
So they go with Roland or they use their middle name or something that like if it's more impressive sounding. That's one of the instances where we did find some anecdotal evidence that people do, they don't change their name per se, they just, you know, they just make it, they formalize it.
And our number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. What about people who use initials? That always kind of bugs me. I want a name for somebody. I don't want initials. Why do people do that?
Well, mostly they do it because they have unusual names.
Oh.
Thornton Stalling was a person that I knew who went by T.F.
Hmm.
When I had suggested Rolandus Agamemnon for my son, my wife said, "What are you? He'll definitely go by R.A. So generally we found that people do that because they don't really want to use their names. Or it stuck, like a nickname, when they were little.
Mm-hmm. Although, when you think about it, for certain people like T.S. Eliot, it would have to be T.S. Eliot, of course. No other name would be as profound.
He couldn't possibly be famous if he had another name.
Exactly. More phone calls in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Michael Sherrod is our guest. Bad Baby Names is his book. And there are a couple websites you may want to go to, and they're up on our website as well, in case you missed this. You didn't have a pen with you. If you just go to WPR.org and go to Kathleen Dunn, you'll find the badbabynames.net and sticksandstones.com. Okay, back to phone calls. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Michael Sherrod is our guest. We've had a lot of emails. I'm sorry we can't get to all of them. Here's one you'll enjoy. My favorites. Oh, the person, Mary from Milwaukee. If you want to run across a wide assortment of names, work for the state or in a call center. I'll bet that's true. My favorites, Auxiliary Doria, which made me wonder if a sibling was named Emergency Exitus. Attila Khan and Dampwort. There was also a wide assortment of Chandeliers, Princesses, Beauties, and Cinderellas.
That's not surprising. We found people who were named after all the planets. We found people who were named after all the zodiac signs. We found people who were named after vampires and mad scientists, like Dracula Taylor and Victor Frankenstein and Porthos Longo, Nemo Fisher, even Robinson Crusoe and Ichabod Crane. But people, you know, we also found people who are named after punctuation. We found people named adverb, noun.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
And several hundred colons, C-O-L-O-N, and even a couple of semicolons. And when you think about that, it's a little stunning. But speaking of auxiliary, we also found Encyclopedia Dewey.
Oh, my gosh.
So people, you know, it's not that unusual. And auxiliary is a pretty interesting name when you think about it. It's something you're going to remember.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Sue from Milwaukee, hi.
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 I have a question on my mother's first name. Her name is Aldemar, and it's spelled A-L-D-E-M-A-R. They have no history. No one else in our relation was ever called that. And I didn't catch the beginning of the show. I'm wondering if there's a spot that I can go to where I could possibly find out where her mother ever came up with this name.
That's a name that I have heard before.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. And it's not spelled the same way that you have spelled it, but there is a place that you've... One of the things that you can do, you can go to Ancestry.com and look and hit the search button, and for free, you can go in and you can search for names, and it will tell you how many people have that name, and you'll see where they were born, for instance, or where they lived. And that was Adelemar. Is that right?
Yes, Eldemar. Yes.
Eldemar. I'm looking right now. There are a number of Eldemars from Ohio, one from Los Angeles. There's an Eldemar Miller, an Eldemar Neri, Eldemar Spahn, Eldemar Brabant. So there are four. These are from ones from the British Army medal rolls, one's from the Louisiana State Death Index, one from the California Birth Index, and one from the 1880 Federal Census. So the name is out there. All of these people, as far as I can tell, were born in one in 1874, another in 1905, and another, it looks like, in 1900.
So it may have been like a great-great-grandmother's name or something of that order. It's a nice name, Sue, isn't it?
I think it's a very nice name.
You almost, there's a song behind it. There's...
Verbal of it. She goes by Eldie. But, her sister's name is Nidra, and her other one is Gwendolyn, so those are kind of unusual, but they know where those came from. We just couldn't figure out, and her mother never said where she found it or got it, so...
It sounds a little Germanic, or perhaps Swedish. I noticed there's, and looking a little further, I noticed there's quite a few in Minnesota, and with the last name Gustafson. So there could be some Nordic history behind that name. In fact, I would almost guarantee that there's Nordic. That's a Nordic origin.
Thanks, Sue. Ben is next from Rhinelander. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Hi.
Since St. Patty's Day is coming up, and my daughter's birthday is on St. Patty's Day, in 1983, I tried to get my wife to provide our daughter with the middle initial, O, so it would be Tia Oloma. So my question is how many names are based on the day or the event of that day?
That's a very interesting question, and I don't have an answer for that, but I would wager that quite a few are. There is actually a lot of tradition around naming children after either an event or an object that is the first thing seen by the parents. That runs through a lot of different cultures. And so many times you'll have children named Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because that's the day they were born on. You'll have children named after an Olympian because the Olympics were on. You'll have, that sort of thing. And you see that today. People name their kids after certain celebrities, or they name them after, in times of war, they name them after generals. So it's a very common thing for children to be given a name that sort of plants them in time in some way, and gives them, there's a hook to their birth. And the parents almost always let them know what that is. They want them to understand where that name came from.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It is nice to have some significance to a name, isn't it? To have a story behind it.
Well, I certainly think so. That played a large role in just about everyone I know who named their children, and certainly in my family. We named our children with very specific names based on very specific people who we respected and felt were wonderful people, and because we wanted them to be that way. And we let them know that when they were growing up, that they were linked to their past through their names.
Nice, nice. Kathy from Fox City is probably our last caller. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi.
My story is a little bit humorous more than anything else. My father... ancestry is Norwegian, and he was given the name of John, middle named Tennis, spelled T as in Tom, E-1-N-I-S, and then his last name. But when the birth certificate was returned, when they left, after they left the hospital, instead of a T for tennis, they replaced it with a P as a
ball. No. Oh, no.
You are kidding.
No, I'm doing to get it undone back then. He's in his 80s. So I just, it's always a fun story to tell.
Yeah.
That's a marvelous story.
Yeah, it's a great story. Well, this has been a wonderful hour, Michael. Thank you so much for being with us and for doing the topic. It's great.
Oh, thank you. I've enjoyed it very much.
The book is Bad Baby Names, and Michael Sherrod is the co-author of the book. He also let you know about the websites. If you don't get these, they're on our website. If you don't get these, how would you get our website? At any rate, their website is badbabynames.net. You can add to – we can get to all your emails today. We had so many of them. Or sticksandstones.com, or you can go to our website, WPR.org, and look under Kathleen Dunn. Not Kathy, Kathleen Dunn, and you'll find these links. Thank you, Rhonda Fanning, for producing this fun hour. And thank you, Rhonda Fanning, for on-air production here in our Milwaukee studios. And we'll have many more interesting hours ahead on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.